Okay, I'd like to call today's meeting of the House Resources Committee to order. Today is February 9th, 2024. We are in Capitol Room 124. Members present are Representative Mears, Representative Dybert, Representative Armstrong by phone or by Teams, Representative Sadler, Representative Baker, Representative Rauscher, and myself, Representative Tom McKay, Chairman. We have a quorum to do business. And I would like to thank the staff, as always, Justin, Zach, and Ed, for helping us run the meeting. And I would like to remind everyone to please silence your cell phones. So today we have four bills, to discuss. Three of them are related to oil and gas activities in Alaska. And the fourth one refers to the recreational cabin bill. First, I would like to make an announcement and make a few remarks. You may have noticed on the calendar today, we were going to have a discussion revolving around the activities at West Harrison Bay. West Harrison Bay is a unit which is located west of Alpine on the way towards Uviavik, and it's a potential field north of the Willow Trend, and there's a unit that's been in place there since 2010, and there's yet to be an exploratory well drilled at that unit. And we were hoping today to have an update from the entities involved, and unfortunately, the operator of that unit has declined to testify and give us an update. So I'd just like to make a few comments. I want to encourage the executive and the DNR to make all efforts to resolve the issues at West Harrison Bay. That prospect is highly ranked and is believed by some to possibly be as large as Alpine or possibly another Kuparik. At a time when the state is desperately in need of more revenues, there's nothing that can help our budget situation more than more oil from the North Slope. Our budget, as you've all been seeing, is now over 50% from savings from the Permanent Fund Earnings Reserve. Production from the slope has declined to a point where our state budget is now funded less than 50% from oil and gas. As you all know, there's been heavy demands for funding in education, public employee pensions, public safety, and many, many other areas needing funding. So I want to, as House Resources Chairman and along with this committee, I want to encourage the administration to make every effort they can to move things along at West Harrison Bay so we can find out if we have an oil field there or not. So with that, I'll close my comments on that subject. And moving on to our first topic today, item one is House Bill 257. So I'll now bring House Bill 257 before the committee. And I'd like to ask my Chief of Staff, Trevor Jepson, to come forward. And we have a few corrections to make to that bill. And then we'll have public testimony. So, Mr. Jepson, please put yourself on the record and explain the corrections to the bill.
Thank you, Chair McKay. For the record, Trevor Jepson, staff to Chair McKay. So during the initial bill hearing on HB 257 on February 5th, while presenting slide 5 labeled Why HB 257, I mentioned that large-scale importation of LNG would likely require hundreds of millions of dollars. While that ballpark number is likely accurate, I referred to it as state infrastructure, which would imply the state would have to pay for it. That is not actually the case. What I meant to convey was that the state would need this new and expensive infrastructure, but I didn't mean to imply a funding source. It's highly likely that the investment would come from the private sector for that infrastructure, but it is worth noting that this potential expensive private sector investment would be reflected in energy costs associated with the imported LNG. Thank you, Chair McKay. That's the only clarification I would like to make at this time.
Okay, very well. Is there any questions from the committee for Mr. Jepson? Very well. Seeing none, I will now open public testimony on HB 257. Is there anyone in the room wishing to testify? Seeing none, is there anyone on the line wishing to testify? No? All right, very well. I will now close public testimony on House Bill 257, and we will hold the bill in committee. My plan is to hopefully move that bill out of committee on Monday. Our second subject is House Bill 222, which is the Permanent Fund Investment in a Gas Pipeline. I will now bring that bill before the committee, House Bill 222. We will now open public testimony on House Bill 222. Is there anyone in the room wishing to testify? Seeing none, is there anyone on the line wishing to testify? Seeing none, then I will close public testimony on House Bill 222. And I did neglect to ask Representative Armstrong, can you hear us? Representative Armstrong, are you there?
Yes, loud and clear. Thank you. Yes,
oh, very good. I should have done that at the beginning. I'm really glad that you were there. Otherwise, I'd have to repeat everything. Okay, our third topic is House Bill 223, which involves royalty relief for new gas production. I now bring House Bill 223 before the committee, and I will ask for public testimony on House Bill 223. Is there anyone in the room that wishes to testify? Seeing none, is there anyone on the line that's going to testify? It looks like we have one. That would be Lynn Willis. Lynn, can you hear me okay? Hello, Lynn? No? Hello, Lynn, can you hear me all right? Are you on mute, Lynn? Okay, I'm going to wait a minute to give her every opportunity. Any questions so far on House Bill 223? I guess we're under public testimony, so I have to wait, I guess. Lynn Willis, going once. No? Lynn, please, one more time. Okay, Lynn, you can send us your testimony in writing if you can hear me, but for some reason you can't. We can't hear you, so... we look forward to hearing from you, Lynn. Sorry that that didn't work out. So anybody else wishing to testify? All right. I will now close public testimony. Excuse me.
Sorry, Mr. Chair. It's my understanding that there's a committee substitute coming for this bill and that will have substantial changes. And I'd like the public testimony to be held over so that there's an opportunity to testify once that CS comes in front of us.
Yes, and we're waiting for that committee substitute, Representative Mears, so I don't see any reason why we can't accommodate that request.
Thank you, sir.
That
brief at ease.
Brief at ease. Okay, we're back on the record. Pursuant to Representative Mears' request, we will hold public testimony open on House Bill 223 while we wait for a new committee substitute from Ledge Legal. Okay? So, the final subject on today's agenda is House Bill 281, related to the recreational cabins. So I'll bring the HB 281 before the committee. And I understand that we did have a public testifier, James Squires, I believe it was on Wednesday. And the DNR will now address Mr. Squires' comments. Do we have, who are we supposed to have online?
Probably Rachel Longacre.
Rachel. Rachel Longacre. Rachel, are you there? Can you hear me?
Good afternoon. Yes, for the record, this is Rachel Longacre, Chief of Operations for Mining, Land, and Water.
Okay, Rachel, great to have you today. Could you address Mr. Squires' concerns from 2 days ago?
Yes, certainly. Through the chair, the level of fire protection is dependent on the area and fire management options at various levels of fire protection throughout Alaska. Some state-owned lands are in areas with limited or no fire protection. A parcel's location could also impact which fire services are available and if they are in a community fire service area or if in the unorganized borough. Through the current remote rec program and expected to continue in the current proposed remote rec program, DNR notifies of the fire management for the specific area of the parcel and provides connection with the Division of Forestry for property owner fire mitigation and fire prevention. And finally, parcels are recommended to be included in the known sites database to aid in fire management in known infrastructures and locations.
Okay. Does that conclude your comments, Ms. Longacre?
Yes, through the chair, it does.
Okay, very well then. Are there any other questions? Representative Sadler.
Mr. Chair, I'd appreciate having Ms. Longacre's comments in writing so I can parse them more carefully to make sure I understand what was conveyed.
Okay. Ms. Longacre, did you hear that request?
Through the chair, yes, I did, and we're prepared to supply that to the committee today.
Okay, that'd be great. And Representative Rauscher.
Thank you, through the chair. I think he raised a few other questions and trying to go over them in my head. And I thought one was, say, a family of eight or nine could have lots all side by side until they pretty much have a very large piece of property in the middle of a very well-hunted hunting ground. Can you speak to, I believe that was, and I hope I'm not misstating, one of the things that he brought up. I was wondering if you could speak to that through the chair.
Yeah, thank you, Representative Rauscher. Ms. Longacre, can you respond to Representative Rauscher?
Yes, through the chair, Representative Rauscher. I would have to walk through that process a little more carefully, and given the size and his example, and I can provide that also to the committee in writing.
Follow up.
Okay, follow up, Representative Rauscher.
Thank you. I think one of his concerns, I'm just trying to play it all over in my head, and I'm caught off guard trying to do that, was he thought that a fiscal note should be a little larger because he thought putting these cabins out in state land, having to forestry to fight them, should a fire start because of the cabin's location in the middle of nowhere, might constitute a bigger expense on the state. I hope I'm not misquoting him again, but, and if I do, Mr. Squires, I apologize, but I believe that was one of his concerns. Can you address that through the chair? Thank you.
Ms. Longacre?
Yes, through the chair, Rep. Rauscher. One of his concerns was the cost of administering fire protection. And as I indicated and can certainly supply through in writing, there are various levels of fire protection across the state. Those are established. Some of those can be limited fire protection or no fire protection.
Just a quick follow-up.
Follow-up, Representative Rush.
So you see no added cost for the state should it be on state ground and the fire break out on state property?
Through the chair, Representative Rauscher, that is correct.
Thank you very much. I appreciate it.
Okay. Representative Sadler.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Through the chair, Ms. Longacre, To paraphrase, to go a little bit beyond what Representative Rauscher said, I believe I heard from Mr. Squires expressing a concern that this bill might allow motivated individuals to form a consortium or use their family members and in the colloquial term, to cream or take the best of locations. For example, there's a very attractive float plane lake. Does this bill allow or prohibit that kind of motivated, energetic utilization of this bill to allow someone to just take the best parcels for themselves?
Through the chair, Representative Sadler, the example that was provided to me included 8+ parcels in a string. I would like to be able to thoroughly answer that question and provide the context that I think you are looking for in your question, of being able to select the best state land. Clearly, that's not the intent of the bill. However, providing that information in writing, I think, would be easier to digest.
Appreciate that. Thanks.
Okay. Any other questions on House Bill 281? We will be holding it over until Monday. So if you come up with any more questions, we can address them on Monday. All right. Seeing no questions related to 281, like I said, we'll hold it over until Monday. That concludes our business for today. Excuse me. Oh, a brief at ease. We're back on the record here at House Resources. We will roll back to House Bill 223, and we will reopen public testimony on 223. I never closed it, but I will open it anyway. So Lynn Willis, Mr. Lynn Willis, I understand you're a constituent of Representative Sadler. Can you hear me okay?
Yeah, I can hear you. Thank you.
Okay, can you please state your full name and your affiliation and put yourself on the record and begin your testimony on 223, and we'll give you 3 minutes, okay?
Thank you. My name is Lynn Willis. I reside in Eagle River. I'm representing myself. I sent this testimony in a week ago, and it just appeared on the document list this afternoon. So I was hoping it would be there a little bit earlier. However, this regards HB 223 and its companion HB 276. And there's two quotes from history that pretty well describe what's going on here. First, let's listen to Yogi Berra when he said, "This is deja vu all over again." And the second is attributed to Einstein, who said, "Insanity is the definition of doing the same thing and expecting different results." We were here about a decade ago. Okay. And again, we're being offered a Hobson's choice, which is no choice. You know, I feel like I am being extorted. Pay us if you want more gas. That's what they're telling me. Paying tribute to private industry obviously didn't work then. So what objective evidence makes you think it will work now? This is just another political mirage, as far as I can see, to buy more time, create the false image of a long-term solution. The recent record-breaking cold temperatures in South Central Alaska and the reemergence of the color-coded supply warnings by the municipality of Anchorage give the lie to any idea that past efforts have solved this problem for the long term. Now, Dunleavy's DNR commissioner, John Boyle, in a meeting on 31 January, said from a DNR standpoint, the challenges we're facing in Cook Inlet right now aren't related to the resource. He further said, "We have ample gas resources that are available under either existing platforms or platforms that could be permitted within a relatively short time." Now, I understand I can't keep my home with a permit. So again, and if you guys have finally perceived the problem, we have to do something. I think you found out in the meeting the other day that importation, I understand the senator was shocked to understand that takes 6 years to set up. She should have known that. You know you're not going to get your pipeline. So here's an idea. We use this gas for space heating primarily up here and to boil water to make steam to make electricity. Somebody in that meeting also mentioned, well, what about if we boil water another way? Coal? Nuclear? We're going to have to do something in a hurry. But I need both of those utilities to heat my home. But I would say that the priority should be for space heating. And I would also ask, as far as I think this import thing is finally going away, as is the pipeline, but please include the military in your plans, because I don't think they would be too keen on having that energy supply coming across the gas, the Gulf of Alaska and the North Pacific, if you know your history about why we built the Alaska Highway. So I understand these corporations rightfully pursue a legitimate main objective of maximum profits. However, may I read to you again from Article 8, Section 2 of our Constitution. The legislature shall provide for the utilization, development, and conservation of all natural resources belonging to the state, including land and waters, for the maximum benefit of the people. I am beyond tired of this public-private partnership approach, relying on a regulated and a subsidized monopoly. It simply is not working. To provide natural gas for a long-term solution, why not use a more public utility approach? I have attached to my testimony 27 December 23 ADN opinion piece by Walter Featherly, "The solution to Cook Inlet gas supply is right under our noses." I suggest you seriously look at a public utility approach in a failed market. The incentive is not there, and you know that. You also know that Hillcorp is selling gas from a LNG from the other end of the rail belt, which lessens the demand in Cook Inlet. I don't know how we're going to get out of this box, but you better think about it. And let's just repeat the quote from Einstein about the futility of attempting the same solution to obtain different results. Thank you.
Okay, thank you, Mr. Willis. You make some interesting points, and I particularly appreciate the point about the military. So thank you for your testimony. And with that, is there anyone else wishing to testify online? All right, with that, I will close public testimony. Excuse me.
Sorry, sir, we were going to hold that over.
I'm holding this one over. Okay, we will leave public testimony open. Thank you, Representative Mears. It's okay.
my procedure there was not.
Yeah, no, I could have called you out of order, but I didn't. I appreciate the help, the coaching. Thank you very much. Okay, so we'll roll back down the calendar to the end. I see. Is there any further business before the committee today? All right. Our next meeting will be Monday, February 12th at 1 p.m. I wish you all a good weekend, and we will adjourn at 1:26 p.m.